Well, welcome to the online version of the youth message. It is also the message similar to what I will do on Sunday morning in church. And we titled it the youth message originally when we were trying to continue to stay in contact with the youth. So we would always do that, but it's really a youth message because we're all children of God and we're all young at heart. Young inside, maybe the outside thinks, not so much, you're a little older. But the inside person is just as young and fresh and alive as always. I titled my message this week, Impetuous Faith. Interesting word, impetuous. Now, you can look it up in the dictionary, but I only looked at a couple things to kind of summarize the word impetuous. And it simply means acting or doing something without thought. So think about that as I read the scriptures and then come back and we'll look at the message, really, what it means to have impetuous faith. Our scripture reading this week is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Hear God's Word, New Living Translation. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. What is it, he asked. In your glorious kingdom, we want to sit in the place of honor next to you, they said. One at your right and the other at your left. Jesus answered them and said, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of sorrow I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering that I must be baptized with? Oh, yeah, they said, we're able. And then Jesus said, you will indeed drink from my cup and be baptized with my baptism. But I have no right to say who will sit on the throne next to mine. God has prepared those places for the ones that he has chosen. And when the 10 other disciples discovered what James and John had asked, they were indignant. So Jesus called them all together and said, you know, that in this world kings are tyrants and officials lord over the people beneath them. But among you it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here to be not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many. May God add his blessings to the hearing, the reading, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. Remember in school, if we can remember back, or maybe some of you are still in school, there's only one kid that was what we used to call the kiss up, or the butter up, or the brown nose, or the suck up. You ever experienced that in school? I think we all have, and because that kid who always raises his or her hand for every question, who always volunteers to help the teacher, who loved to be the class leader, who wanted every time to be chosen for the first good behavior. Yeah, I got good behavior, so I want to be up there. I want to help you, teacher. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one I was thinking of. Every class had one. Every job often has one, too. Throughout life, we've always encountered those who crave special attention, who's obsessed with being first at everything, who seem to be needed extra pets or perks to feel that, you know, they're okay. While they can annoy the people around them with their incessant striving, most folks are content to let them achieve. You know, like kiss up or strive to their heart's content. As long as it doesn't take away from their own career or the trajectory that they are in their career. Now, remember last week we talked about the achievement mentality in response to a young man's desire to obtain salvation. Today we see a similar mindset as two of Jesus' disciples vied for what they see as power seats in Jesus' kingdom. James and John, the two sons of the fishing mogul Zebedee, now it's not James, Jesus' half-brother, but he was part of the two sons of the fishing mogul Zebedee. And he came right out and asked Jesus for the right to sit at the right and at the left of the seats to Jesus when he ascends to his throne of glory. You see, these are the honor seats to a king, the most prominent advisors to the king in the kingdom. Of course, James and John still at this point are assuming that Jesus will become an earthly king of Israel. They no doubt anticipate whether this life or the next that he will be wielding significant power, but they want to be the Messiah's first-hand people, if you would. The prime minister of piety, the masters of the pets. Jesus, at first, is taken back by their impetuous and somewhat impertinent requests. But these are the sons of Zebedee, and he knows them. They are not known for their deliberating and slow-moving style. They're used to a high-powered fishing industry where they barter and compete for some of the best positions and get deals on boats and fees, and their behavior is just in character. But Jesus also realizes immediately that they have absolutely no clue what they're asking for. They're making their request out of the zeal to be first in line for the holy awards. So Jesus exclaimed, "Hey guys, you don't know what you're asking." And then he continued on, "Can you also drink the cup I drink and receive the baptism I receive?" "Oh, sure we can," they answered. They answered a little quickly. Actually, a lot too quickly, because Jesus was inferring something different. Now, he knows they still don't understand what his mission actually is, and they will need to suffer and die at the hands of their own contemporaries and colleagues, that whoever follows him will no doubt suffer too as they carry out his mission. That following Jesus in time and place could mean, probably would mean certain painful deaths, as we know what they did to Jesus and some of the other disciples. But we have history on our side. They didn't know. They were disciples, and they were zeal in the mission of the current time and keeping from the understanding of what will follow them if they truly accept this path. Because true discipleship, the true path of following Jesus, includes the path to the cross, persecution, and likely torture and martyrdom. Now, Jesus isn't trying to discourage them from following him. Quite the contrary. Jesus wants worthy, eager, passionate disciples. But he needs to help them understand what they're taking on. Discipleship is not just a perk or a favor, but a commitment to do what it takes to expand the gospel, thick and thin, good and bad, easy and difficult. It can be a light or a heavy load, and once you make that commitment, you can't go back on your word. In fact, in the end, there's no guarantees. Otherwise, it would not be faith. So Jesus tells them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and you will receive the baptism I receive. But set it in my right or left hand? Nah, that's not mine to give. It belongs to those for whom it's been prepared. By now, all the disciples are riled up and angry at the few trying to one-up them, if you would, and get into the seat of honor in the coming kingdom. And once again, Jesus enters into a teaching moment telling them, you know, that the ones who are considered to be the rulers by the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it'll be with you guys. Whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the human one didn't come to be served, but rather to serve and to give his life to liberate many people." Now, you can't get any more direct than that, I don't think. You see, Jesus' kingdom, whether earthly or heavenly, is not patterned after the usual hierarchical kingdoms and the structure his disciples were used to seeing or had heard about them in the past. Jesus' kingdom was an entirely different nature. Not only did it require long and hard consideration of the risk and what commitment it would entail, but would also require those to lead to become service-driven in nature. You see, being Jesus' disciple wouldn't be about who would be in the leadership position or who would run the show. It would be about who would serve everyone else the most. Who would show the most humility? Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. But who would put themselves last and put everybody else first? Who would dictate their lives to doing things for others? Who would sacrifice their own seat of honor to someone else? Parable after parable after parable, Jesus keeps trying to enforce and teach this particular principle to his disciples, even up to the last time when he spent with them in the upper room, when he gets down on the floor with a cloth and washes his disciples' feet. Now, this is one of the hard lessons for Jesus' disciples to learn, and it's still hard for us today. But I want us to think for a moment about the people whom you have long admired, whether they're still alive today or maybe even passed on and now present with the Lord in heaven. Those people whom you would name to be, when I put it in quotes, a true Christian. What were they like? What made you feel that they were really good at heart? And what was their nature? What are the characteristics that they possess? Most likely, you'll name some of the following. All humility, servanthood, patience, grace, kindness, non-judging, loving, and very helping. You know, these people who touch your heart just as being themselves. That's all you got to be, is be yourself. It's amazing how many people that we bless by just being ourselves. They are people you admire not for their status or their positions of power, but for their lack of the need for it. And likely, they are people who have taken their faith seriously. They live it out daily. They know what it entails. They keep God close to their heart. They walk their faith out no matter what it costs. Well, so what do we have? Impetuous faith? Or committed faith? That's like Shakespeare said, that's the question. Impetuous faith or committed faith? That's the question that Jesus asked every one of us, even today, because we were all disciples of the way. You know, before they were called Christian, they were called the way. So are you agreeing? Think about this. Are you agreeing to be Jesus' disciple simply because you were raised to do so? Well, I was raised in the church. Or because it's the thing that you say in church. Or because you thrive on your position. Or so you can hang out with your friends. Or are you committing to be Jesus' disciple because you know the cost? Are willing to take the risk and walk the walk and talk the talk of proclamation and love and service and mission? I'm proud to say or know in my heart of hearts most of the people, or maybe all the people that's been at Bethel over the years that I've been there, they are committed and they know, and their fruit that they proclaim and the things that they do and the things that they say, I know that they're in love with Christ and their love with the service and the mission of the kingdom of the living God through Christ. Now, there's difficult questions for all of us, and they require us to ask ourselves that question each and every day. I can't really ask it every day. I try to ask it almost every second of the day, because one day is more than I can handle sometimes, but discipleship is hard. But Jesus will walk with you in every step of the way. What did he say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Paraclete is coming, and he will walk alongside. The Paraclete is our advocate with the Father, the Holy Spirit. Wow. You see, the first will be last, and the last will be first. So when you strive, don't strive to be first. Be committed to being a faithful disciple, and then Jesus will do the rest. Well, I hope and pray you're having a good day, and this week I'll be bringing the message in church. Next week, Tina is going to be bringing the message in church. So I hope and pray that you come out and hear her. I will be able to do the online service from where I'm going to be. We're going to Fort Walton to do a wedding ceremony. Our grandson, Brock Boyette, is marrying his beautiful bride, Sabrina, and we're honored to be a part of it and doing the service on the beach. And then Judy and I are going to go from there on to Louisiana to visit a granddaughter that we weren't able to be with when she graduated from high school because of Judy's treatment. So we're looking forward to seeing our granddaughter in Louisiana. They grow up so fast. It's amazing. But God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.